What a joy to be with you today. I love this kind of stuff. I love the ministry. I love talking about ministry. I love getting ideas and sharpening what we're doing and being in an environment like this with people like you that want to serve the Lord with excellence. So thank you for letting me be a part of today and for being a part of it as well. I wanted to mention three or four things and then dive into this lesson, which is renewed energy or renewed classes, renewed ministry is what we'll try to talk about here in just a second. But your pastor talked about the background checks, and I just provoked a thought in my mind standing over there of I hope that you are grateful to be a part of a ministry that wants to do everything above board and all the way. Sometimes there can be a sentiment that I don't know if we should do that or not. I'll tell you, as a dad of four, I'm very thankful that my children are in a ministry where we do that. And that's just so important. I hope that you'll get behind what the Lord is doing there at the direction and leadership of your pastor. I also was thinking about the last session when we were talking about just that first impression or whatever. I wanted to encourage this group. Never sit down before church starts. That's one of my pet peeves. One of my pet peeves is an adult Bible class teacher. They'll sit in my office during the week and say, I can't get anybody to come to my class. And I'm shaking hands in the intersection. They're sitting down. And I just want to, in love, go kick them. Never sit down before church starts. Now, if you're physically, you know, that's not possible. I'm not trying to be mean. But unless there's a sovereign reason, this group right here should never sit down before church. Always up, always shaking hands, always meeting people, always looking for people you don't know, always looking for a problem you can solve, always looking for somebody you can be a blessing to, just always involved in the body life of the church. You want the church to continue to have a buzz and electricity and a momentum about it. You can just feel it coming in the room. And as the church grows, you need more people embodying that. And one way, and that was just a simple thought I had over there. I thought, I want to share that as well with you. And then if you have a question, and Brother Gilbert was so kind to write his question out for me. But if you have a question, you don't have to write it out. But if you have a question, put it in the margin or keep track of it. And at the end of this, if we have time, we're going to try to handle some of those. Again, I may not have the answers. I'm not someone coming here and saying, man, I know all this stuff, and here's what you need to do. This is stuff I'm learning, mistakes I'm making, things we're doing. We're in the middle of it. And if we can get an idea from you, we'd love it. If we can be a blessing, we'd love it. So, but if you have a question, be sure to jot that down, and we'll try to get to that towards the end as well. Pastor, thanks for letting me come. Folks, thanks for being here today and being a part of this. I truly count it an honor and a privilege to be with you, and trust that this session will be a blessing. We're going to talk about renewed classes or renewed ministries, all right? We'll try to keep it generally applicable as we can, but really talking about how to revitalize a ministry by adding new people and continuing to develop the ones you have. Now, we've talked about developing committed class members, and we're going to come at some of this from a little different angle here in this theme, because anything that we're going to do for the Lord for the long haul constantly has to be renewed. We have to renew our inner man. If we're going to faithfully serve the Lord between now and the end of our life, then every day has to begin with time with the Lord so we can renew our inner man so that we can go work. One of the greatest mistakes I can make in the ministry is trying to do God's work in my power. That will not work. By the way, I'm not interested in trying to do God's work in my power because I don't want to be a part of something that I can do. I want to be a part of something that God can do. I want to be a part of something that takes a team and God doing it to accomplish. That's what I want my life to be invested in. And so everything needs a season of renewal. And certainly our ministries and our classes need this as well. And I want us to look at how we can renew the class or the ministry in which we lead. And as we launch into that, I want us just to think about the purpose. Now, we talked about Matthew 28 in the introduction of the last session. We talked about the commission that God has given every Christian to go win, baptize, teach. We all want to be involved in that. We want our classes and our ministry to be involved in that. And that gives us a purpose. And I believe the purpose for a class, like the one I teach tomorrow morning, is threefold. It is to reach people, teach people, and minister to their needs. That's why his design, the couples class that I lead, exists. We exist to reach people. Our goal this fall is everyone in our class to be involved in outreach, whether that's Thursday morning, Thursday night, or Saturday morning, to have a partner, to get a map, to get some tracks, and to go out and invite people to church. Then we want to be involved in teaching people. That happens behind the pulpit in the classroom. We're starting a brand new series tomorrow entitled Synergy, Better Together, and learning how marriage operates according to the principles of the Word of God. And then we want to teach people through our discipleship program. Some of you, as I met you during the break, said, we disciple here. That's awesome. My wife and I disciple as well, and many in our class do. And we have a discipleship program. We're getting new people involved and grounding the Word of God. And then we want to minister to the people and the needs that they have in their class. In our DNA and our structure, we use care groups. And so I have care group leaders in my class, and they're responsible for 5 to 7 families each. And they have people in whom they're connecting with and caring for, and meals and hospital visits and all of those kinds of things are being structured and met through the structure of the classes. And so we want to reach people, teach people, and minister to their needs. So how do we renew that class or ministry according to that purpose? First of all, I want us to look at renewed energy. If we're going to renew, we've got to have renewed energy. Now, the Bible says in Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. There's something about getting new people involved in your class or ministry that brings energy. People being saved not only brings joy in heaven, but it brings life to a church and to a class. Getting new people in and seeing them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing compares to being part of the process where somebody is going from death unto life. It never gets old sitting in somebody's living room and sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That never gets old. It never gets old having new people in our class or in our church. And what a blessing it would be if every ministry represented in this room for Liberty Baptist or for your church was regularly seeing new people come and new people accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a blessing that would be. By the way, that's the core of what we do. That should be our expectation. And when that's not happening, it should be an inward assessment. Lord, what do we need to get fixed? In my own life personally, I have goals in this area. If the Lord would allow, folks I'd like to see saved and baptized and added to the church and in discipleship. And I'm tracking those things all the time in my own life personally. And one of the reasons I do that is because if I'm going through a stretch where I'm not seeing that happen, it's a red flag in my own life personally. Why is this not happening? It's certainly not because there's no lost people in Lancaster anymore. That's not the problem. It's certainly not because God isn't saving people anymore. That's not the problem. The problem is probably with me. And I need to get it fixed. I need to get it resolved. I need to do something. Maybe I'm not going enough. Maybe there's something in my life that's hindering the work of the Lord and the blessing on it. I don't know what it is, but it needs to be resolved because I need to be involved and effective and fruitful in this work. And you and I have to see the need for renewed energy and new people in our classes and in our ministries. And we have to believe that God can. Sometimes we get in this mindset with electoral debates and with the cultural shifts and with the moral decay and with all of these things happening in our culture today, if we're not careful, we can almost just adopt this mindset like, I don't know how God's going to do any good thing in this day, but if we can just hang on until he comes and make it, we're going to be okay. You and I have got to be convinced God can still change lives. Man, God is still in the miracle working business. I serve a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. With Christ, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. And it doesn't matter how dark it gets, bright is the light. And if we'll shine our light and if we'll be the salt that God wants us to be, God can still change lives. And I believe that. I'm grateful to be a part of a ministry where that's still happening. My wife and I will start discipling Jesse and Ashley Baldwin this Wednesday night. And I had the privilege of leading Jesse to the Lord several weeks ago, and about 2 weeks ago, had the privilege of baptizing him, and had the privilege of baptizing his wife and his daughters a few weeks prior to that. And God is changing their life. And they came to church Wednesday night, and Jesse was in a suit, and man, he looked sharp, and he got to hear my dad preach, and we talked in the lobby, and God is changing his life. And he said, "Brother Rule, pray for my coworker Scott and his wife Rachel. I'm really praying they're going to come to our class. Man, I hope that they're going to come." And he texted me this morning, and he said, "Pray, I think they're going to come tomorrow for the new series." God is still working in the lives of people today. And I know it and I believe it, and you must know it and believe it as well. There is a harvest to be reached, but we have to believe that it can be done, and then we have to be determined to go and sow seed and reap harvest in our lives. Now, this is not something that we as leaders or the people in whom we're ministering to and leading are going to do by accident. This is something we have to be intentional about. What gets scheduled gets done. Now, I should live evangelistically, meaning I should carry gospel tracts when I go to the gas station, when I go to the restaurant, at my everyday life, I should be involved in sharing the gospel. True. But in my life, in addition to that, I should also have time set aside on the calendar and protected that I'm going to go and be involved in outreach. Because what gets scheduled gets done. And this is a priority. This is something I feel like I am commanded to do. You say, "I didn't know this was in the job description of being a teacher." It's not. It's in the job description of being a Christian. This is something God wants all of us to do. This is something God wants all of us involved in. And thank God somebody reached us, and God wants us to turn around and to reach someone else as well. And it's not going to happen by accident. People have got to be led. And we have to effectively encourage our class and our ministry to be involved in the reaching of new people, to renew that energy. Now, how can we effectively involve our class in this area of outreach? First of all, letter A, through prayer. The Bible says in Acts 4:31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." How is our class going to go out and talk to neighbors and coworkers and friends and family members about what God's doing at Liberty Baptist and what God is doing in their life when we pray for them to do that? When we encourage them to do that? We've got to pray that God will give them a boldness for what God is doing in their life. And we've got to pray through our ministries and through our classes and through our workers and through our ushers and through our greeters and say, "God, give them a boldness to share their faith. Give them a willingness to be peculiar. Give them a courage to be looked at slightly differently." If we're not willing to do that, we're going to have a real hard time reaching this region for Christ. We're going to have to be different. We're going to have some awkward conversations. Nobody likes to ask somebody what's going to happen to you when you die. But you know what? Something's going to happen to them when they die. And if I don't ask them that question, they might go to hell. So I'm going to have to get over what I don't like about it and get involved in the real work of ministry. And we want to pray that our class will have that burden. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 12:23, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Wow. I think sometimes those in the ministries that I oversee maybe don't reach their potential because of my lack of prayer. What a sin it would be for me not to pray for them. And maybe their growth, their development, their outreach, their courage in sharing their faith, maybe that's not where it should be because of my lack of winning that battle in my private time with the Lord. We've got to encourage our class through prayer to be involved in outreach and soul winning. But then letter B, we need to be purposeful. How can you and I renew the energy of our ministry and getting new people involved? We've got to be purposeful in this. And again, if it were automatic or if it were easy, then everybody would be doing it. But it's not that. And we've got to be intentional about getting people involved. And I just want to give you some ideas practically here in doing this. And I don't think this is in your notes, but just some shotgun ideas. Consider using a commitment card. Here's something we do. In our classes, when we're gearing up for a big outreach push, we have a commitment card. And we encourage people to commit. "I will be a part of outreach this fall season," every Thursday morning, Thursday night, Saturday morning, whatever the case may be. We seek a commitment from them. And I told you already, we've got an audacious goal in His design this fall. We want everybody in the class to be involved in outreach. That's something God's been beating me up about all summer long. is the lack of people in our class that are doing this. Some are brand new. Some of them have been there a long time, just got out of sync. And I've gotten with some men in the class this summer, and we're setting up new structure. I got a guy, his whole job this fall is going to be to make sure everybody goes soul winning. And he and I have already met. Man, we're excited about it. We're doing some things a little differently, and we're going to get people involved in outreach. And I'm excited about it. It's going to help them. It's going to help our class. And it will allow them to be involved in something that touches an eternity. But maybe consider using a commitment card, encouraging people to commit to something like this. People who don't commit, go after them personally. Nothing has replaced the old-fashioned buttonholing of people. Sometimes when somebody sees a card and a bulletin and can you sign up for this and they don't, that's one thing. When you and I go see the wider the eyes of somebody and say, hey, would you be my partner this fall? When could you go? Let's go together. You say, well, now that's going to get a little awkward. If the church is going to go from where it is now to where God could take it, there will be a few awkward moments in between. That's the nature of what we do. We are to provoke one another to love and good works. Study the word provoke. Awkward fits there. Okay? And by the way, you say, well, if somebody gets involved in it because it's for me, I'm not really sure how long that's going to last. Listen, I don't know the bait on the hook that gets them to bite, but here's what I know. You get somebody involved in the harvest fields of reaching people, knocking on doors, sharing the gospel, seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. If they do that long enough and see eternal fruit from it, they're addicted to it. It's awesome. There's nothing like being involved in that work of the Lord. And we want to encourage the people to get involved, and we want to equip them that they might be involved as well. Keep this in front of your class. It should oft be said, man, so-and-so is our guest this morning, and they were invited by so-and-so. Or, man, so-and-so had the privilege to lead some Lord this week. Or Amy's getting baptized today, and she's the friend of Jennifer's or whatever. I mean, keep that stuff in front of your class. You get what you platform, you get what you praise. Yeah. Sometimes we talk more about the Olympics in class than we do soul saved. Yeah. Be careful what's being platformed. Be careful what's being praised. You want to make sure that's the kind of stuff that's getting attention. If outreach is a big part of your class, what platform time does it get? Make sure it's something that's emphasized and encouraging the people to be involved and encouraging new people to be involved. We have a training program in our church. And one of the things we're doing this fall is every new person's got to get involved in that. We want to equip them that they can go and share their faith. And so we want to make sure that we're purposeful, that we're intentional in encouraging people to be involved in soul winning and outreach and renewing the energy of our class and our ministry. The Lord's pattern of leadership was he summoned others to join him. He took responsibility for their spiritual growth. He equipped them to serve, and then he sent them to serve. And we want to see that alive in our classes as well. Then letter C, be persistent. Be persistent. When it comes to getting people involved in outreach and soul winning and renewing the energy of your ministry, you've got to be persistent. This is not a one-time event. This is not get everybody signed up and then they're going to do it forever. This is something you've got to stay after. Teachers, I would encourage you, get your roster for your class out and begin going name by name. Do they go soul winning? 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 You say that would be a depressing exercise. It was for me too. And I said, we're going to do something about it this fall. We've got to. We cannot assemble together on Sunday morning and say, look at what God's doing if we're not out there doing it. And it's just something we're going to make an area of emphasis. It's something we're going to work at. And you've got to be persistent in that. And just knowing the state of the flock, who's involved, who's not, and encouraging them to be involved in that. Carrying attracts and class cards and just persistently being soul conscious and eternally focused in what you do. Letter D, plan opportunities for this. Man, this isn't an area of emphasis for a class or a ministry right now. Okay, then plan some things. Plan some opportunities. I don't know how it's all structured here, but in your classes, help with the partners and the times. Man, I think more people would go, but there's nobody to go with, and I don't know when they would go. Then help with that. Maybe there's organized times. Help get people involved in that. Maybe it's not, and maybe you need to schedule something, but help with partners. Help with times and when to go. Make sure they have something to do when they go. And the people from our class, they can knock doors, they can go visit absentees, they can visit prospects, they can visit people who've recently visited our class. There's a plethora of things they can go do when they come, and we want to make sure that that's ready for them so that they can be a part. You might consider having an activity that is partially outreach or all outreach. Man, we just can't get this thing going. Schedule an activity and do it. Man, we're going to meet at the church, we're going to go knock doors for 2 hours, we're going to meet it for lunch. And we're going to talk about what God did. That'll help make it a priority, make it an emphasis, make it something that people are involved in. And then as you think of those opportunities, get people in your home. Again, a key to this is getting people in your home where you can train them, or getting new people in your home as you go through the process. So plan some opportunities for the class to be involved in outreach. Letter E, identify prospects. How can we get the class involved in outreach and soul winning? By identifying prospects. As you are going out and about in the community, inviting folks and so on, identify people for your class to pray over, to visit again, to encourage to come to the class. Follow up on that person. If you meet someone in the community that you feel like, this is a prospect for my class, or this is a prospect for my church, at the very least, get their name and address. At one, my personal practice, get their name and address at the very least, write them a note. Hey, good to meet you. Last Tuesday, as I was out knocking doors in your neighborhood, and I'm glad to hear you recently moved to our area from Long Beach, and just want you to know praying for you. Hope to see you Sunday. And put a little gift in there or something. But just follow up on those people. Keep their name and pray for them. Have a prospect list, something that you're praying over. And then as you develop that prospect list, go after that list for special days. We did a special postcard mailing this week for the new series that we're starting tomorrow. And we mailed to our current class roster. We mailed to my sweetheart list, or my list that I'm working on of people being saved, baptized, and so on. But then we also mailed it to our HD prospect list, a list we've developed just from door knocking. They all got an invite to this new series that we're starting tomorrow. So identify those prospects and then follow up on that process. And I want to tell you something. Evangelistic classes and evangelistic ministries are led by evangelistic leaders. Jesus Christ was evangelistic. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And one of the greatest things that God is doing here is using you to reach other people, and God is sending new people. And I just want to encourage you, as you keep this thing on the upward trend, to continue to personally stay involved in the reaching of people, and then through your influence and encouragement, that more people would become involved in the reaching and evangelizing of new people. That will keep the energy of this place electric. There's just nothing like new blood, fresh air in a ministry. You say, man, our class is dead right now and it's in a rut. Go get new people. That'll change it. It'll change it every single time. All of a sudden, we're worried. Do we have enough donuts? Because we got new people. All of a sudden, we're worried. Does the bulletin look sharp? Because we got new people. All of a sudden, we're worried. Is the lesson ready? Because we got new people. All of a sudden, everything takes on a whole different feel because we've got brand new people. There's just something energetic about getting new people involved. How can we renew our class or our ministry? We've got to have renewed energy. We personally have got to be involved in reaching people, and we've got to encourage our class to be involved in reaching people. And before we move on, I just want to encourage you personally. You might make a decision, something like, Lord, between now and the end of the year, would you allow me to lead someone to you? I personally want to sit down with a copy of God's word and share my faith and see someone pray and accept you as your Savior. That would be a great goal for everyone in this room. Could you imagine if everyone in this room saw somebody saved and brought to Liberty Baptist between now and the end of the year? I would imagine that would make a significant difference in the church. That would bring energy and life. That would add people to what God is doing. I think God could use everyone in this room to do that. I don't think that's an over-the-top goal. But I want to tell you something I've learned in ministry. That's not going to happen if you don't want it. Sometimes what's not happening in my life is my lack of desire. There's got to be humility. It's not me that does it, it's God. But there's got to be hunger. I've got to want to do it. But then there's got to be hustle. I've got to be willing to go do the work. And sometimes we don't have the humility. We're trying to do God's work in our own power. That's not going to work. Sometimes we don't have the hunger. We don't even care. And I'm not trying to be mean. I don't know all of you personally, and you don't know me. And I'm certainly not trying to offend anybody. But I'm just going to be honest with you. From what I do every day of my life and the ministries that I serve and the churches that I work with, sometimes we just have people who don't care. Whether or not they have a guest in their class tomorrow, they could care less. Whether or not everybody in their class is going soul winning or not, they could care less. There truly are people serving the Lord who just don't care. And it's sad, but it is true. And there's going to have to be a hunger. There's going to have to be a desire. There's going to have to be, hey, I want to be involved in this. I want my class to be involved. This is something we got to do. But then there's got to be the hustle. I can have all the desire in the world. You know, there's no medal for good intentions. Well, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. And we've been saying that for a long time. And there's nothing really happening. At the end of the day, I just got to be willing to go do the work and go put the work in. And I just want to encourage this group, because I think what God's doing here is special. And I think the potential of what God could be doing in the future is incredible. And I know that this group right here catching this and saying, hey, I'm going to be personally involved in the life-changing work of people. I'm going to be personally involved in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And through our youth department and through our children's department and through our adult department and through the music department and through the ushers and the greeters and everybody else in the church, we are all going to be involved in that mainly, because it is the main thing. That will be the engine that drives what God continues to do here. So renewed energy. But then secondly, we need renewed enrollment. Now I'm going to get in the weeds here a little bit with classes. And so if you're not involved in this, I'm going to talk really fast. I hope something will be helpful and applicable. But I want to talk to all the teachers about renewing their enrollment and how to keep all of their members and their classes connected. Now, your enrollment is a tool, and it can be used to help all of your members stay connected in your class and in your church, but it can also be a growth tool. Now, just kind of go with me mentally here, and let me help kind of paint a picture. Many teachers view their enrollment or their class role as the list of people who attend their class. And the most common approach is, if somebody starts to attend my class, they go on the roll. If they stop to attend, they come off the roll. But what few teachers know is that that practice is oftentimes the reason their class doesn't grow. How can you use your enrollment to help you keep the members connected, but also to grow your ministry? Here's some thoughts, letter A. Adjust your definition of enrollment. If you and I simply view our enrollment as an attendance list, we have a very closed system. We've got to view the role rather as a ministry list. So there needs to be a fundamental change of paradigm. My class role is not an attendance list. That's old system. That's closed system. Okay? Class role is ministry list. That's new system. Okay? We want to see our class role as a ministry list. What does that mean? It means that your class role does not just consist of the people who attend your class. It is the list of people that you are committed to ministering to. So the class role is no longer just the people that attend my class. Now it is the people in whom I'm ministering to. Both those who attend and those who have yet to attend my class. It should be very easy to get on your class roll, and it should be very, very difficult to get off. So how do you enroll someone into your class? How do you get them on this roll sheet? And let me give you some thoughts. Number one, you need them to fill out a connection card. I talked last session about this, importance of this, so I'll not belabor it here. But I would encourage every ministry, have a place for them to fill it out. You say, Brother Rule, don't they attend your church and fill out a connection card? Yes, they do. Do you make them fill one out when they attend your class? Yes, I do. Why? Because we want that information for our class. We ask a few questions differently than they would in the corporate worship service, and we want to know how we can follow up on that family. So whatever ministry you oversee, make sure they fill out a connection card. Make sure that whoever's in charge of that, a class secretary, assistant, whatever, that they're tenacious about it and do a very good job. Secondly, then you personally want to talk with them about enrollment. You as the teacher or leader personally want to meet with this person and talk with them about it. Here's how I do it in my own world. When somebody visits our His Design class, like we'll have tomorrow, Lord willing, I'll call them on Monday and set an appointment to get in their home this week. When I go to their home this week, of many things we'll discuss, one of them will be enrollment in the class. And I'll explain to them what I'm about to explain to you, and I will ask them if they would like to enroll. if we can minister to them. Now, what do I tell them enrollment consists of? Number one, that they will receive intercession, that we are going to pray for them. So it's very simple. Can we put you on a list that we're going to pray for as a class? Might there be some needs that we could pray for you? When you enroll, it means you're going to be on a prayer list and prayed for by many. Number two, they will receive invitations. By being on our class roll, they're going to receive an invitation to class each week. They're going to receive an invitation to class activities and special events at our church. They're going to be part of the exclusive club that gets the inside invite to things that God is doing here. Thirdly, they're going to experience involvement. Enrollment in a class, they're going to experience involvement. They're going to be encouraged and reminded to be in class and to be in church, to enroll in a care group, to get involved in discipleship. Some of the things that new people would start to get involved in, that's going to happen as a result of being on this class roll. Number next, they will have inclination. They will have inclination. What does that mean? Well, someone who is enrolled and being prayed for and who's been invited to be faithful and begins to become involved is much more inclined to stay and to serve. So that's all of the benefits of enrolling people, children, teen, adults, into your classes and having them on the roll. So we want to explain what enrollment is. And then thirdly, we want to ask them if they want to enroll. So in their home, I'll explain, boy, we're so grateful that you've come to be a guest in our class. We'd love for you to be a part of our class. We'd love to pray for you and recognize your birthday and your anniversary and those kinds of things. Would it be all right? Would you like to enroll in our class? And it's a very simple verbal yes. That's it. Now, we practice a process V to E to M, which means visitor to enrollment to member. So anybody can enroll in my class. They don't have to be a member of the church. We have people enrolled in my class who are not saved, who are not baptized, who are not a part of the church. We have people enrolled in our class who have not even been in the class yet, but that we're ministering to. And so as soon as somebody gives you entrance, and as soon as the Lord gives you entrance in somebody's life, visiting your classroom in the community, if you can enroll, if you can begin to minister to them, you want to take advantage of that, and the Lord will use that process to add them to the church. Certainly, to be a member of the church, you've got to be saved and baptized, Acts 2:41, but that isn't the case with our adult classes in the structure that we have. And so we want to ask these people if they want to enroll, a simple verbal yes, and it helps them to get connected to the class. You're seeking an agreement with them where they're giving you permission to minister to them. So you want to understand the definition of the role. Then letter B. Then aim to develop your enrollment. Now the question could be asked, at what point do you add someone to your class role? Should you invite this person maybe on the very first visit? Should you wait till they've attended a bunch of times? When should it happen? Well, the answer to that question is back to the definition. If our role is simply a list of people whom we're committing to minister to and to be a blessing to, then we can add them right away. Now, let me give you two statements that are equally true, and just listen to this for a minute. Increasing the enrollments of your class will not automatically increase the attendance of the class. That is true. But if you do not experience sustained growth in your class, you will not experience sustained growth in your class without increasing your enrollment. So you say, okay, so enrollment's not just who's attending my class, it's a list of people and who I'm ministering to. So now I'm going to go just sign up everybody to minister to, and my class isn't growing. That could happen. But it will also be true that you can leave your list as just the people that come, and your class is not going to grow. You've got to continue to add people in whom you are committing to minister to. Which of the three classes do you think will have more in attendance tomorrow? The class with 20 people on the roster, the class with 45 people on the roster, or the class with 130 people on the roster? 130, right? Because they have more people to draw from. So you and I cannot shrink our enrollment and expect our class to grow. Well, they don't like our class, we're going to take them off. Well, they don't come anymore, we're going to take them off. We're so fast to take people off, we're not adding anybody. We can't shrink the enrollment and expect the class to grow. The total number enrolled in our class has a huge influence on the average attendance we're going to have each and every Sunday. So we've got to be intentional about expanding the enrollment of our class, the list of people in whom we are committed to ministering to. Why? Because on average, 50% of a class roster attends on any given Sunday. So you want to increase that enrollment. You want to minister to people. You say, man, if I put people on there that haven't even come yet, but I'm committing to minister to them, how am I going to treat those people? You're going to staff to them tenaciously every week till they come. And then when they come, the very first time they come to your class, you want to go visit them in their home and get them on that enrollment and begin praying for them and ministering to them and being a blessing and developing in their life and see them get added to the class, because about only 50% of the class roll attends class on a given Sunday. Now, how can we expand the class roll? Okay, I see it shouldn't just be a roll of the people that are coming. I've got to minister to people. Where do I get these people from? A couple thoughts. Number one, look for people in church who could be a part of your class. Who goes to Liberty Baptist Church right now who's not in the class? Find them. By the way, this goes back to what we said in the introduction. Never sit down before church starts. Ever. Why? Because every Sunday of my life, I find someone walking through the auditorium who doesn't have a class. Every Sunday of my life, whether it's before 8:30, before 11, you come to our church, you'll find me and a few other guys. We're working the auditorium. Just shaking hands. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you this morning. And a lot of people I know. Some I don't. And I've learned to ask the question, how you doing? How long have you been here? Because I made the mistake of saying, hey, are you new? And they're like, hey, I've been here 20 years, you know, whatever. And, so how long have you been here? Oh, that's our first time. We've been here a couple weeks. Man, that's awesome. We're glad you're here. Have you gotten plugged into one of our classes yet? No, I didn't even know about it. Really? Oh, you haven't experienced a church unless you've experienced that. I'll help them find a class. And if they're anywhere in the target of my class, that's where they're coming. But if not, I'm encouraging them to go to a different class. If they say, oh, yeah, we got a class. We got invited to Jeff Craig's class. I always say the same thing. Man, that's awesome. He does a great job. And just keep moving. But I want to encourage you the rest of this month, shake hands before and after church. If you're an adult class leader or any class leader, find someone in your church who's not already in class and invite them to come. You'll be amazed at the prospects that will assemble here tomorrow. They're already on your property that just don't go to a class. Well, I don't know that they want to go to class. Make them want to come. Tell them how amazing it is. Man, they haven't experienced anything until they've been. They're not getting the full experience of Liberty Baptist until they've been to a class. Again, the Sunday schools of the church are organized to fulfill the mission and the purpose of the church. So look for people in the church who could be a part of it. Number two, look for people while you're out soul winning. I don't know if I have time to do soul winning and everything, and I don't know that it's all that productive and everything. Listen, when you're out soul winning, look for people that could be in your class. Man, when I go out door knocking, I carry class cards. Virtually every time I'm out door knocking, I meet somebody who's a prospect. Hey, I want to invite you to this design. We've got a new series start. We'd love for you to come be our guest. Look for them while you're out and about. You're going to find prospects for your class just out soul winning. And then thirdly, look for people while you're out in the community who would be a good fit for your class. You're going to run into people everywhere. You teach a young couple's class, you want to go to the parks. Why? Because there's a lot of parents there with young kids. You just want to go to their class cards. Take your kids, let them do the monkey bars or whatever. Hey, how you doing? Oh, great. Where do you live? Oh, great. Hey, here's this. I mean, just go where people are. Go where that group is. Find them. Invite them. Encourage them to come. Let them know what God is doing. Get out in the community and encourage those folks to be a part of it. Now, if we will increase our attentiveness to just ministering to people and developing an enrollment, but not encouraging attendance, the class may not grow. If we just work on the people who are already coming, the class is surely not going to grow. There's got to be a balance here of ministering to the people that God has sent, but continuing to reach out and encourage new people to come and expand that enrollment. It will help us grow the class. So you got to be thinking in your mind, how can we expand our enrollment? Who can we meet that we can minister to? Who can we meet that we can get to our class? Brother Will, we never have visitors in our class. And I want to say it as kindly as I know how. Change that. Change it. There's got to be people in Newport Beach and the surrounding areas who do not go to church. There's got to be. There's got to be people, as you and I are talking right now, that are dying and going to hell. There's got to be. There's got to be people who could benefit from your class. There has to be. You just got to find them. And there's got to be something that burns inside of you that says, the day of going months and months and months and months and months without a visitor, it's the same old, and we're in the same rut, and we're in the dark, that day's over. It's just over. We are no longer operating that way. We are going to do this as unto the Lord, and we're going to do it with excellence, and we are going to reach people. And we're going to get the class involved, and if every activity for the next 6 months has to be solely, that's what it's going to be. Until we get someone brand new, bona fide new person in the room. Because I'm telling you, it's going to change the dynamic of the class. Because now there's new people here. There's new energy. and you can get them on that enrollment and you can begin to minister to them. So we want to make sure that we understand enrollment. We want to develop and add to that enrollment. And then letter C, quickly, be apprehensive about disposing of your enrollment. The question has been asked, has there ever been an appropriate time to remove someone from your class roll? And the answer is no. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes there are, but you want to be very careful and slow to take someone off your class roll. Listen, sometimes when somebody just stops coming, we want to nix them off the class roll. Get them off the class roll, they don't come anymore. You know, sometimes teachers make that decision without ever visiting that person in their home. That's been my cardinal rule. I'm not taking someone off my class roll. I haven't gone and talked to them in their home. Yeah, but they haven't been there in months. Have I been to their home and talked to them? Have I seen the white of their eyes? Have we sat down and talked about, hey, you doing all right? I know she had been there in a while. Is everything okay? I mean, they may have left because they thought I was a jerk. I at least want to learn from that. Man, when you got up and you said this, it really offended us. Man, I'm sorry. And I may not be able to salvage that, but I can learn from it. But I'm not going to take somebody off my class roll who I've not talked with, who I've not understood what happened. That's a missed opportunity of growth for me. So you've got to be very careful about when to take people off your roll. It's usually four circumstances. Number one, when someone moves. Obviously, if somebody moves, you're probably going to take them off the class roll. And I would encourage you as a teacher and a ministry leader, go the extra mile, help them find a good church where they're going. I'm ever amazed at the people that will move who never even think about where they're going to go to church. But unfortunately, that happens. And help them find a good church. Number two, when someone joins another church. Now, this is the one we don't like. They're coming to our church, and they're going to... By the way, this happened to me. Jackson and Tiffany Sivu, probably... Oh, let's see here. Right before Mother's Day. And I'll just be totally transparent. A black couple, and they wanted to leave our class, and somebody mentioned that to me. I scheduled an appointment. I went and sat in their home, and basically, culturally, did not feel comfortable in our class in our church. And I thought, man, we've got a lot of black people in our class in our church. And I felt like they were being more intolerant of race than I was being with their decision. But I talked through that thing for 60 or 90 minutes. I wasn't going to change their mind. I just told them I loved them. Now, I have continued to leave Jackson and Tiffany on my prayer list. I have respected their decision to go to a different church. But there will periodically be throughout the year times where I'll jot them a note or send them a gift and just maintain a relationship. Because I really think the Lord's going to turn that one around in time. But sometimes when that happens, we want to remove them from the role. Number three, when someone passes away. Kind of hard to argue against that one. Take them off the role. Number four, when they request to be taken off. Now again, this is rare and it's not ones that we want. When somebody would come and just say, I don't want to come to your class or your church anymore. But we want to be sensitive to what they want and careful. And I say all that to say, be careful of the temptation just to purge your role of people who don't come like you want them to come. It's very easy for the teacher to say, I want a nice, clean, crisp role where everybody's here every Sunday and everything is great. That's awesome, but you're not building a growing class. Okay? If you're going to build a growing class, you're not going to have a clean, crisp role. Because you're going to have people on there that never miss. You're going to have people on there that never come. It's part of it. It's the balance of it. And you're trying to get people on there so you can minister to them. And you don't have a guarantee in the future that if you leave them on the roll, they're going to come back or something's going to happen. But you do have a guarantee that if you take them off, they're not going to come back. If you stop ministering to them, they probably aren't coming. I went to Lancaster Baptist 4 years ago. And my first Sunday, I started teaching, which would have been, I think, tomorrow. And back then, the class was called the couples class. And I didn't like the name very much, but we let it go for a few months. My first Sunday there, a couple walked up and cursed my wife and I out. It was a tough group. They were hurt. They were discouraged. They'd been through teachers. It was rough. And we got in there. We just started loving people and reaching people and just kind of got going with it. Well, they had given us the old class roster, and we started visiting those people, writing them notes, and just trying to develop a relationship with them. One couple was Hugo and Shantae Ramirez. I think in 12 months of time, I probably wrote them 20 times. I probably personally went to their home a dozen times. And I probably called them 20, 30 times. Hugo and Shante never came to class, to church, to anything my first year. It was a Friday. I was in the office. I got a call on my cell phone from Shante, and she was crying. She said, Brother Rule, you don't know me, but we used to go to your church. You've been by our house. You've written us letters. You've called us. And I know we haven't been there, but my husband just got fired and arrested all on the same day. And I'm at home with our kids, and I don't know what to do. And I pulled out the drawer, and your card was there for one of your letters. And I thought I'd call you. And I said, Shante, I'm really glad you called. And we began to talk on the phone. Found out what was going on with her husband and the employer and some of the circumstances there. A few days passed. He was released. They began to try to work through some of those things. And they came to church. My wife and I took him to lunch after a morning service, little cafe style. Crossed the booth, got to know him a little bit, got a chance to witness to him. They both prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They got baptized in the next few weeks, started coming to class, got discipleship. Today, Shante is one of the best nursery workers we got in the church. Hugo's one of the best ushers we got in the church. In fact, just before our leadership conference a few months ago, their son Sean had a skateboard accident and fell and had to have 7 hours of major brain surgery. I spent every day of leadership conference down at the hospital in L.A. at some point in time during the day. And I was out of town preaching in Iowa this past Sunday, but one of the associate pastors called me and said, Sean was here today, their son, and he had his helmet on, you know, part of his skull is still in his abdomen. It's an amazing story. But he was there, and the family's just doing incredibly well. And I'm reminded of that story, and I just thank God I didn't give up on Hugo and Shante Ramirez. Now listen, I've given up on people. I've lost people. We're not batting 1,000. I could give you 10 illustrations of things we've done wrong. But I give you that illustration just to encourage you. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on people. You never know when something's going to happen in their life where their attention is turned back to their need and they're going to think of you. So be very careful to take them off the roll. So how are we going to renew this thing? Renewed energy, get involved in soul and reach new people. Renewed enrollment, minister to people, build that thing back up. Thirdly and lastly, through renewed engagement. Renewed engagement. Now, this is how to close the back door of your class or of your ministry. One teacher said, if half the people who came to our class over the past 2 years were still in attendance, we would be double the size. And probably most of us as teachers could say that. And we want to work at renewed energy, reaching new people. We want to work at renewed enrollment and ministering to those people and getting involved in our class. But then we've got to work on renewed engagement and keep them there and close the back door. People will stop coming to church for lots of reasons, but one of the biggest factors for people leaving a church is no close relationships and no meaningful service. They didn't feel connected to anyone relationally, and they didn't have a reason to be there. They just occupied space. They took up their 18 or plus inches of space every Sunday. They sat there, they participated, and they left. They didn't do anything. What you find over time is that when people leave a church, it's because they don't feel like they're relationally connected or they don't have a job to do. So how can we renew our class by renewing the engagement of the people that are there and not letting them slip through the back door? First of all, letter A, communicate expectations initially and often. Communicate expectations initially and often. People will often ask this question. Why would I want to be a part of something that expects nothing of me? Don't shy away in your ministry from communicating expectations. We communicate often what we expect people to do. Man, we want to see people get involved. We want to see people be free to thrive. We want to see people share their faith. We want to see people get into discipleship. We want to see people who finish discipleship disciple somebody else. Constantly communicating the next step. The expectation, the raising of the bar. Man, if people knew it was going to be all that, I don't think they would come. The exact opposite is true. There's too many churches in our culture that they don't expect anything out of anybody. And people come and it's like, well, why do I need to be here? Yes, I can be entertained, but something of substance for a long haul, it's not there. People want to be a part of something where the expectation is being raised and where they are expected to be involved. They want to be helped to develop a new normal. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things have become new. They want that process in their life. They need help. They need your help and my help to develop that in their life. We've got to communicate these expectations initially and often. Platform that in your class and your ministry. Let them know that's where you're going. Your pastor talked about, man, we're rolling out a brand new thing, and we're going to talk about the assimilation process. Why? Because it's critical. How do we go from community to committed member? Well, there's a lot of steps in between, and we want the people to know it so they can follow it. Letter B, Take good attendance. Now, I know that's super basic. But we're not going to be able to know if somebody's slipping through the cracks if we don't have anything to judge that by. We've got to take good attendance. We've got to be accurate in what it is that we're doing. Quite frankly, inaccurate attendance is a waste of time. Whoever it is in your class or your ministry who's responsible for knowing who's there, they've got to feel like that's the most important job in the church, because it is. I tell Ashley Langley, who's our class secretary, takes attendance, and she does a phenomenal job. Ashley, your job is as or more important than mine. Because it doesn't matter what's being taught if we don't know who's there. We've got to know where people are at. You've got to take good attendance in your children's ministry, in your youth ministry, in your adult ministry. You've got to have accurate information. Let us see. You want to enroll people in discipleship. How can we close that back door? By getting them involved and rooted in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things thou hast heard of me, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I can just say from personal experience, I'm not a salesman, I'm a satisfied customer. Discipleship works. Man, I love doing discipleship. I love sitting down with new people. Marlon and Jeanette, first lessons, we were teaching them discipleship. We said, now, this is the book of the Bible. The next set of numbers, that's the chapter. And then the set of numbers after the colon, that's the verse. And we went to the table of contents to find the book. And then we went to the chapter and verse layout so they could figure that out. That was lesson number one. They didn't know anything. By the way, I love it. I love it. Discipleship does as much for the discipler as it does the disciplee. There's no doubt about it. So encourage them to get involved in discipleship or whatever that is in this context. But encourage them to get involved in a rooted, growing ministry for their faith. Letter D, catch them on their way out the back door. Be determined. You're going to have a mechanism in place that you're going to catch people going out the back door. Let me give this to you quickly. We use what we call a weekly snapshot. This goes to every one of our teachers every Monday. And it gives you five things. Number one, anyone who visited your class on Sunday, all their information. We tell our teachers, go visit those people, set an appointment if possible. The second category in the weekly snapshot is your one-week absentees. These are the people that were in church last Sunday, but they were not there yesterday. We encourage all of our teachers to write them a note. Hey, I missed you. I'm praying for you. I just want you to know that we missed you Sunday. Hope to see you again this upcoming Sunday. The next section is the people who missed 2 weeks in a row. They were there 2 weeks. Now they've missed 2 weeks in a row. We encourage our teachers, handwrite them a postcard at the beginning of the week. Call them the latter half of the week. Hey, we missed you on the last couple of Sundays. You doing all right? We hope to get you back next Sunday. The fourth section on that snapshot is the three-week absentees. People who have missed 3 Sundays in a row. And we tell our teachers, go visit them. Go see the light of their eyes. Check up on them. Why? Because when somebody's missed 3 to 4 weeks of your church, something's happening mentally. They're transitioning from, I wonder if anybody in that church cares about me, to, I know nobody in that church cares about me. Because they've missed 3 or 4 weeks and nobody's done anything. That is a cardinal no-no in this arena of ministry. And we'd tell our teachers, if somebody hits that three-week absentee, you go visit them. The second highest priority for me outside of go visiting a visitor is that three-week absentee. And that's what Des Bell is doing for me this morning and making that connection, because it is so critical. Then the fifth section on that weekly snapshot is those that are involved in discipleship and where they are in the discipleship process. And I just want to encourage you, be tenacious about who's there and where they are and what their attendance pattern is and how can you encourage them. Why? Because you're catching something from happening. Mickey Price walked up to me yesterday after the morning service at our men and boys camp out and hugged my neck and tears came down his eye. And he said, Brother Roy, I just want you to know I'm back. We had a class act in. I don't know if this is being recorded or not. Some of this might need to be edited. I'm sorry. I'm just being transparent. We had a class activity a couple months back. And something happened that shouldn't happen. And Mickey lost his testimony. And Mickey and I spoke on the phone 2 days later. And I was trying to encourage him. And he was very ugly and very off color with me. And I've been to Mickey's home. And I've written Mickey letters. And I've called him on the phone and I've sent him text messages. And I've just said, Mickey, I know stuff has happened. I just want you to know I love you and I hope you'll come back. His wife's come faithfully and endured the whole thing. He hugged my neck yesterday after that morning service at our men and boys camp out. And he said, Brother Roy, I just want to say I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked to you on the phone that way. I shouldn't have said what I said. I just want to thank you for staying after me. I'm going to be back on Sunday. And honestly, that was the highlight of the men and boys camp out for me. was God got a hold of his heart and changed it. But a part of that was because there was a connection there that was never lost. You've got to know where people are at, and you've got to stay connected with them. Letter E, through care groups. Getting involved in a group where their needs are being met. Someone praying for them and faithfully ministering to their needs. Letter F, through ministry involvement. Getting them involved in ministry. Letting them be a part of what God is doing here. Letter G, through relational connections, relationship connections. Again, the more people they're connecting with, the more likely they are to stay and they are to serve. Getting them connected relationally with people in the church. What do we need? A renewed ministry. How do we get that? Renewed energy. Personally, you and I being involved and reaching people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then our youth ministry and our class and the ministry we oversee, getting involved in that. Then a renewed enrollment. Our ministry is not just about who comes faithfully and likes us. Our ministry is about who can we minister to and be a blessing to. And as a result of that, they might come more. And then renewed engagement. How do we close the back door and pray for people and notice when they need help and encouragement and encourage them to be involved and to stick and to stay and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord give us a renewed energy in all that we do for him and for his name's sake. Well, let's take a few minutes. It is 11:41, so I think we're doing well on time. And maybe answer any questions you might have. I'm going to kick off with this one question that I do have. And then if you have a question from anything we've talked about today, or something you've brought to this training that you were hoping we would talk about, and you're like, man, he totally even missed this. Well, we'll try to get it in the Q&A. And again, I may not have the answer. I probably don't. But I want to give you an opportunity, and I'd love to have a dialogue with you if I could. The question was, how do I get a neighbor to come to church with me when I have to come to church early, 30 minutes early for ministry, and we live a good distance away? Here's an idea with getting people coming to church. My wife and I, we're working on our neighbors as well, Jason and Brandy. In fact, they came Easter, and Brandy is saved. Their daughter Brooke is saved, but Jason is not saved. If you think of it, pray for him. But here's some things that we've done, and we go in early as well. We'll say to neighbors or to people about that, you know, we'd love for you to be our guest on Sunday, and we do get there early. We're involved in some things, but right after church, we'd like to have a bite to eat together. And whether it's in your home or at a restaurant, sometimes inviting them to that. I got a couple right now, Matt and Janet Bode, B-O-D-E, and recently accepted Christ as Savior. Then they get baptized. They're going to be my guests tomorrow in my class, and I'm taking them to lunch tomorrow after church. And that was the connection there. I wanted an appointment this afternoon. He couldn't give it to me because it just moved. And I said, well, man, how about lunch after church Sunday? He said, yeah, we could do that. And free lunch, we'll take it. And I said, man, let's do it. So sometimes an incentive in that way will work. The flip side of that is, if that won't work, and man, I've invited them to lunch, I've done this, I've done that, they won't come, and just if I brought them here, I know they would come, then get somebody to cover their ministry. Hey, could somebody step in for me? I'm going to get here early. Here's what you need to do. I'm going to go get my guests to bring them. So those are the two things that I would try to get those guests to come. But that's an excellent question and an excellent problem to have as well. Anybody else a question? But anything we've talked about today, anything you brought to the seminar, anything like that, and it's okay if you don't, but if you do, we want to give an opportunity to answer that or try to add value to it if we possibly can. Yes, sir?
Any comments on the class concept and how to revisit it and take it up to the next level?
Okay, any comments on the class what?
Content.
Content on the lesson portion. Depends on what you're doing. If you are teaching a curriculum that's already been developed, then you want to read through it, be very familiar with it. You want to add to it something that's going to make it come from you that's passionate. If you're teaching a curriculum, because I think you mentioned to me that you're working with the Patch the Pirate group, so it may be that we have a curriculum that rotates and now I'm teaching something that I've taught before, then I would encourage you read something in addition to that. So maybe the theme is gratitude or something, then do a Bible study on that or read a devotional thought on that, but get something that supplements the material so that it's not the same thing over and over again. I believe when it comes to teaching the Word of God that it needs to be biblically centric. It needs to be over-prepared and teach from the overflow. I teach an adult class, so I like to use, you know, keynotes and handouts and whatever things that I can. And children benefit from that incredibly well. It might be, I did this curriculum 3 years ago, and now this time I'm going to do an object lesson with every week. Or I'm going to do, you know, some kind of a hands-on exercise or a craft or whatever. But just something to keep it fresh. I think as the teacher and the person in the ministry, if your goal is to keep the content fresh and engaging, with the audience is what you're seeking there. So excellent question. I hope that helps. But that's a great desire to want to keep it relevant and in improving. In my life personally, so I'm convinced I've made, number one, I'm going to knock on new doors every week of my life. So I will get a map, get tracks, get somebody, and I'm going to go knock on doors. And the reason for that is because I think God blesses that. And whatever my own life, I'm not seeing the fruit that I want to see. Somebody being saved, baptized, or down the aisle. For me, it always goes back to the beginning. Rule, how much have you gone? And if you don't go knock doors, you don't have a lot of opportunity to share the gospel. If you don't have a lot of opportunity to share the gospel, you're not going to see a lot of people saved. If you're not seeing a lot of people saved, you're not going to see them in the baptistry, and on it goes. So in my life personally, I'm going to knock doors every week. And sometimes it might be 50. Sometimes it might be more. But I'm going to do that. Visits Sammy in my life. And again, this week's a little different with the travel, and no 2 weeks are the same. But on an average week for me, I will make anywhere between 20 and 30 personal home visits. I use a program called Batch Geo. And I can plug in all my visits and their addresses right into that app. It pulls it up on a map for me and just kind of takes me around town. Helps me stay real efficient. And I've used that for almost a year now. But I think it's $10 for the app. It's well worth the money. Batch Geo is what I use. And in fact, that's what I emailed Des early yesterday for the visits today. Then as far as the people, and again, numbers are relevant, proportionate. So I don't want to get lost in all that. But one of the things I'm doing right now, Sammy, is I've got one guy in my class that I'm calling my soul winning director. And his job is to make sure that everybody in my class goes soul winning, has a partner. And then, depending on the Thursday night, Thursday morning, or Saturday morning meeting, I'm making sure we have plenty of things for them to do. Now, in my context, you know, let's say I have 3 first-time visitors or 6 first-time visitors in my class. I'm going to go make those visits. I'm not delegating those. Now, as a church, we have a lot of visitors, and we delegate those to ABF leaders. Somebody visits my class, I'm going to go make that connection personally. That's probably 75% of the opportunities I had to lead people to the Lord. And it's just a good connection with somebody for the first time to the class. Now, once that connection's been made, I'll definitely delegate through a soul winning partner or a care group leader. So I think to give you the ratios, you want to get everybody involved in outreach you possibly can. You want to have people that you can delegate things to. When you come to caring for families, one individual can adequately care for about 5 to 7 families is about the ratio that works. And then as long as everybody's involved in door knocking and making visits and so on. Those are a few things I do in a few ratios. I don't know if that's helpful, but those are things. Okay, so my class on Sunday morning over the summer, we've had about 160, 165. So again, it's not about numbers because that's all relative. But so with that context, so I've got right now 16 care group leaders. I have 16 couples that are care group leaders, and they're responsible. So what I did this summer is I made a shift in my structure. So now in my class, I have a care group director, I have a soul winning director, and I have a discipleship director. And I just started that this summer, and I'm super excited about it. So I've got one guy that eat, breathes, and sleep, everybody going soul winning. I've got one guy that eat, breathes, and sleep, everybody being in the care group and their needs being met. I've got one guy who eat, breathes, and sleeps, everybody getting in discipleship and having gone through it. And we're launching that this fall, and it's going to be awesome. So that's a little bit of context with numbers. Elementary, yes, we do. We have public school Bible clubs. Mm-hmm.
So how do y'all do that?
We do it through a group. I'm gonna miss the name right now. There's an established group already that has that presence nationally. Yes, I believe it is. Thank you. And Scott Hubbard is the guy's regional director in our area. That's his name. So we go under their umbrella because they already have the national presence, but it's our public school Bible clubs, and I think we only have 6 of them in our elementary schools nearest our church.
You're going to 6 schools?
Yes, ma'am. Yep. That's a great opportunity. In fact, 2 of them allowed us last year to go in and teach a parenting class. So myself and some of the other pastors went and did that. It was a good way to meet with families.
I think this year much more important because I heard somebody has told me in the news that there is a group called Satan something or the other that they want to start having clubs in the schools, especially those that have the child evangelism.
Yeah, that group came to our community as well. So just keep you mindful. You've got to be vigilant and stay at it because there's other people that are. Anybody else? Question at all? Anything we've covered today? Oh, yes, ma'am.
Can you recommend any books on ministry that have been influential for you around this topic?
Yes. At the risk of being branded, I'll give you some titles. And these are things that I endorse the Word of God. Okay, and that's it. Here's some books that I've gotten some ideas from that I would not endorse entirely. Okay, from what I just taught in the DNA of what I do, the 6 Core Values of Sunday School by Alan Taylor, that is the next thing to the Word of God for people in my position. He also wrote the book Sunday School in HD. I think it was Josh Hunt that wrote How to Double Your Class in 2 Years or Less. That's a very good book. I referenced the Humility, Hunger, and Hustle. That came from H3 Leadership. That was a good book I read beginning of this year. So there's a couple others, but yeah. That's always kind of a touchy subject. So whatever the Bible says and whatever your pastor recommends, but there can be some good ideas out there. Anybody else? Anything at all? Okay, I just want to close with saying thank you, and I think we did, 11:51, we did great on our time. I just want to say to this group, thank you for letting me come and being a part of today, and even just from being here last year, meeting in the lobby, to coming back this year and seeing the growth of people being involved and new lay leaders and deacons and staff members and people getting involved. It's exciting, and I'm so grateful for what God is doing here at Liberty Baptist and through Pastor Thompson, and I believe with all of my heart the best is yet to come. And I hope that this will be a place that is implementing these kinds of principles, developing committed people, renewing the energy of the ministry through keeping the main thing, and reaching people. And may that effectively be done well, consistently, that God can continue to bless and add to this ministry. And we're praying for you, we're cheering you on, and we're grateful for what God's doing. Thank you for letting me spend today with you.